on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Welcome back to another edition of the YokeCast podcast. Coyote football season came to an end last week in Missoula, Montana. What a ride it was for Coyote football. Obviously, we wanted another win and to go as far as this team possibly could go, but a tough start to that game in Missoula, and the Coyotes never able to recover out of that deficit that they had against Montana. I thought they played really good in the second half, or for the most part, you know, played more even, maybe even won it up until a couple late touchdowns, but nonetheless, it is, it goes down as a 30-point loss for South Dakota, so the football season ends with a 10-5 record. I can't help but think back to September. A couple of losses to start the season, and then you get a couple of wins. But when you looked at those wins, it was like an overtime win with a goal line stand against Northern Colorado, and then Drake, who you should beat, and then getting beat up by North Dakota State, 2-3 at the end of September. I don't think anybody really knew where this season was going, but again, I've said it multiple times. The team continued to believe. They stayed with the same messaging, the team, the players, the coaches, everybody throughout that whole thing. And they were a group that just continued to get better, and we saw the results of that. You know, the opportunity to go into the playoffs and get a couple of wins, and then, of course, going into the quarterfinals for the third straight year. So, special season, no doubt about it. Obviously, you wanted to go further and further and further, but we'll take that. You know, we'll take a season like that and quarterfinals, and hopefully they'll rebuild and put this thing together for next season. Obviously, a lot of guys who were out this year, you know, have a chance to get healthy now over the off season and get back in to help Coyote football. So what a great season it was for Coyote football, and hopefully they can make another playoff run next year as well. And obviously you have a lot of success because there's been a ton of postseason accolades for a bunch of players and different All-America honors, all of that available at goyotes.com. This week, I had a chance to catch up with Coyote men's basketball player Jesse McIntosh. He is a freshman from Australia and has been helping out the Coyotes this season. Super talented from Melbourne. We had a chance to talk about his career so far and his experience at the University of South Dakota. Jesse, the season well underway. As you kind of have gone through your first collegiate season, what has been your experience so far?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's such a different change of scenery. And I'd say that, you know, the basketball's going really well and life's going really well. Got some good friends that I live with. So, yeah, it's been really good so far.
You were committed to South Dakota for quite a while before obviously coming here. What'd you like about it, and what made it feel like this could be a place that you could grow?
Yeah, I mean, I was really, really close with Coach Sean, the assistant coach, and then obviously Coach Peterson as well. I just had a really good relationship with them, and you know that I came here on my visit, and I don't know, I just felt comfortable here. Like, that was a big thing for me, just like trusting my gut feeling, and I felt like it was home straight away, so I was pretty confident in my decision, yeah.
You're obviously Australian. What is similarities, differences from like where we're at now to where you come from?
Yeah, there's a lot, but I'd probably say the biggest probably difference right now is the weather. Like, we probably never ever had this kind of cold. I don't think I've ever seen snow before until I've been here, so I think that's a big difference. But there's also a lot of similarities between Australia and America. Yeah, it doesn't feel that crazy different, but I mean, some obvious differences, like just, you know, driving on the wrong side of the road is different. Sometimes I'll be walking and I'll be walking on the wrong side of the path and I'll be like, damn, my bad. And then, yeah, just that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's pretty similar. We both speak English, so it's a lot easier than obviously a lot of different countries. So, yeah.
What was your first experience when you saw the snow? Never really haven't been around it much. What was going sledding, building snowmen, anything like that?
Oh, no. I just remember when we came outside and it was snowing. My first thought was, damn, it's really cool. And then I realized it was really, really cold. And then when I was walking, I kind of like just like, I don't know, I just like stood in the snow because I thought that it would just like hold up, and my foot just went all the way down and just went snow everywhere in my feet. So that was probably my first experience from being from dealing with the snow, and then yeah, just kind of getting used to it now, and you know, being able to deal with it. It's a big part of living in Vermilion, so yeah.
How does the game of basketball compare to where you come from?
That's probably been one of the most challenging things for me, I'd probably say. Just like the speed of the game, physicality is a lot different. But yeah, probably the speed of the game. There's a lot of tactics, things that are a lot different in terms of like the rules and stuff. Like I play FIBA rules back home, and I think it's definitely different rules right now in collegiate basketball. So just getting used to all that and learning that is a big thing. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely quite a few differences basketball-wise that have taken me some time, but I'm starting to really, really get them now. I think as I think the way I'm playing is kind of showing that I'm a bit more comfortable now. So I think yeah, definitely.
Speed of it. Sometimes you just have to adjust by getting more reps and things like that. What have you tried to work on individually that can help you continue to grow for this season?
Yeah, I think definitely over the summer I spent a lot of time in the gym working on just like catch and shoot threes, because I knew like I'd probably be off ball a little bit at least to start, so that was a big point of attack for me in the off season, and you know, I feel like it's helped me pretty good recently. So yeah, just probably that, and then you know, a lot of things like the lifting and stuff is very different in collegiate basketball, I guess, just in general coming from high school, but especially coming from Australia. So that was a big part of things I spent a lot of time doing, obviously, as everyone else. So that sort of stuff helped me a lot, I think, yeah.
You go through a season, and obviously, you know, game prep becomes a thing, and there's film watching, and there's game plans. Mm-hmm. How difficult is that to adjust to coming out of high school and trying to mm-hmm. adapt to it at this level?
Yeah, no. I mean, you kind of hit it spot on, but I guess it was a little different for me because I was playing pro back home, so I've kind of been around that kind of intense environment, I think, a lot longer than the kids coming from high school. Like, film was obviously a big thing coming from playing in the pros. You do a lot of film sort of stuff, and so that was something I was kind of ready for in a way. I was used to it, so yeah. I think playing pro, I guess, it doesn't really answer your question, but that helped me a lot in terms of just like being ready for that intense kind of game, because you know, with pros it's like if you're not playing well you get sent home, so it's always very intense everywhere, in practice and in game. So yeah, that's how I'd answer the question, yeah.
You've had a lot of really cool experiences so far in your basketball career. I mean, you represented Australia in the U18 Asia Cup, helped win that thing, and then you're part of the, Victoria for the U20 Nationals, things like that. What was that experience like to represent, you know, your country and just kind of home?
Yeah, no, that was really special to me. I mean, I've told this story a few times, but like when I found out that I made the Australia team, I was sick as a dog, but I was running around the house just like all happy, and I started vomiting because I was sick and I forgot I was sick. But that kind of shows like the happiness and joy from finding out that I made that team, and like getting to go and represent your country is like something that you dream for and you wish for. And yeah, getting to do that was awesome, and getting to win that was memories I'll never forget. And you know, just little things like that are kind of what you learn, different styles of basketball from playing FIBA basketball, so it's a lot of different stuff. And getting to see the world, I mean, we were in Jordan, Oman, never thought I'd ever go there in my whole entire life, so it was just kind of a cool thing you look back on now.
When, you know, you represent Australia, and of course it was the Asia Cup, which is really, really cool. Have you thought about representing Australia in the bigger picture?
Oh, I hope so. That's definitely been always a goal for me. It's a tall task, but you know, I'm pretty confident that if I keep working, there's a good chance I could do that someday. So I think, yeah, that's definitely, I mean, something I think about all the time. I mean, getting to watch the Olympic team is like one of my favorite parts of, I guess, every 4 years, I guess, sitting down and watching that team and supporting that team regardless of win or loss. So yeah, that's definitely something I definitely have my eyes set on and hope to be there or be a part of the system somehow at all. So that'd be awesome for me if I could ever do that, yeah.
You mentioned obviously playing professional before you came over here, and you were part of the NBL as training player, doing some of that stuff. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, being training with like the NBL team that I trained with, like Melbourne United, a few times. It was pretty awesome. I mean, guys like getting to learn from like Matthew Dellavedova and stuff, who was on the team, and you know what he did. I mean, he played with LeBron and won a championship. So that was pretty crazy and surreal moments like that. And you know, he gave me a few tips and stuff, and that stuff just means a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially as a kid, like, you look up to those times and you get to actually do it. It's crazy and you learn so much. I mean, being in part of an intense environment like that is so surreal, and stuff that, you know, kind of, I'd say, like, prepares me in a way to come to college, you know what I'm saying? So I think, yeah, that stuff's so important. And if you ever have the chance to do that, you always take that opportunity, I guess, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. It's any experience you can get is a good experience. Yeah. And you continue to grow, and obviously you want to play at the highest level that you possibly can. So I'm sure you've considered all the options. You got to get better in college and keep doing your thing. But professional basketball kind of circled in your mind right now?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Without a doubt. I mean, I still think if I keep working that I could make the NBA someday. So, I've got big dreams, and I feel like I work pretty hard to do that, and I hope that I just keep getting better every day throughout this season and throughout, you know, the other three that I'm going to have. So it'll be good, yeah.
You look at, you know, your career and where it's at now. Was it always basketball for you? How did basketball come into your life?
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't only basketball. I played AFL, which is the Australian sport. We call it Aussie rules, but it's like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Americans don't really know it, but I played a lot of that growing up, especially as a younger kid. I played both, and it came to the point when I was about 14, 15 when I had to decide what I wanted and really lock in, and I decided to choose basketball at that moment, but it very well could have been football. So, you know, it's I guess one of those moments that dictates the rest of your life, which it did, and for me.
So if the kind of football team's looking for any help, you might be eligible. Or
I already told them they need a kicker. I can kick, so I already told them that. And you know, I really like watching the football, you know, something I haven't ever really seen before, and so watching that was awesome. And I would be lying to you if I said I don't really want to play.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, everybody's got to make their name somehow, right?
Exactly.
Could be a two-sport athlete by the end of this thing. We'll see what happens. You know, you go through, you chose basketball. Hmm. When did you start to understand your ability and start to really get that drive and goal setting to go really high in this thing, to go to college and play and maybe play further?
Yeah, it was pretty early for me. I mean, I said it was both sports, but since I was 11 or 12, I used to just spend all night outside in the backyard just working on my game. So I was always very dedicated in sport. I didn't know which one I was going to pick, but I just always, like, loved to train basketball. And I think that's why I ended up choosing it, is because, you know, football was hard to work on your own, but basketball, you could just go outside and just shoot. So I think since a very, very young age, I'd say since I was 11 or 12, I wanted to be either an NBA player or an AFL player, and that was 100% for me locked in. So, you know, and I spent a lot of time over the years, yeah.
Obviously, right now you're in season. There's a lot of practices and some of that, but you talk about doing some work on your own. How much time do you try to put in to continue to elevate your game?
I try at least once a day, normally, if it's not a rest day, to try and get in here on my own or with a coach. Normally, Tristan or Sean gets in here with me. Tristan, I do a lot of shooting. Sean, I do a lot of, you know, movement sort of stuff. So, yeah, I try to get here at least once a day, but that's before practice and then also practice. So, yeah, so I'd say I spend quite a lot of time. It's hard with season, though, because you don't want to kill your body on top of practices and games, and then rest days you want to treat like a rest day. So it's a balance, but I feel like I have a good balance at the moment. Like, yeah.
So far, this team's played in a lot of really close games throughout the course of the year. Mm. Sometimes that can be fun. Sometimes it can be nerve-wracking. How do you try to keep yourself together during these close games?
Yeah. I mean, getting to play in close games is a privilege, in my opinion. I mean, it's only going to prepare us for when we're into the big games, because it's pretty rare that those big games are blowouts. So, you know, it's prepares us, and we've had a lot of games that we are one possession away from winning, which sucks, but it's also quite encouraging in my opinion. So, you know, I think in game it's just, you just gotta remember that it is just a basketball game, and it's just simple plays at the end of the game. I mean, you don't do anything you can't do, and you do stuff that you normally do in a way at the end of the game when it matters. So yeah, I mean, I'd say that, but like I said, it's a privilege to play in close games, because when it matters, we're gonna have experience.
Speaking of experience, when you look at this group, there's a lot of talent. There's some veterans, and there's a lot of young players getting opportunities. How would you describe this group right now?
I'd say, it definitely feels like we're a younger group. You know what I'm saying? We have a lot of energy. We play really hard, and that's how I explain it. So we just play really hard, and we love playing together. I'd say, we definitely have points where we can grow, but I think having a backbone of working really hard and playing really hard as a team is one of the best things you can have. You know what I'm saying? If you can describe your team as playing hard, then everything else will naturally sort itself out by the end of the year. So that's how I'd explain our team. And I think, you know, for all the fans, we're in here working whenever we can, and practices, we practice hard. So it's, I truly feel like by the end of the year, everything's going to be good and we're going to click. So I think, there's a lot of exciting times ahead for us.
It'll be a fun journey, no doubt about it. How have you adapted being far away from home? You know, Australia, obviously, a ways away, and you don't get to go home and check in, things like that. How have you tried to adapt to that?
I'd say it's been pretty... It's pretty comfortable when I'm pretty good, when I'm playing well or after a good game or practices go well. But I'd say it can be really tough and struggling when, you know, if I have a bad game or I have a few bad days, that's when it really struggles. But in general, I think the way to cope with it is just by, my roommates are awesome. Like, they're some of my best friends, and I got really lucky and blessed to be put with them. And I'd say being able to talk to my family and friends over the phone makes it a lot easier. But there's a counter argument to that, because it's the time difference, so it can be hard to get on call with them whenever I want. You know what I'm saying? There's only specific hours where it's a good time to reach them. So, yeah, I'd say I'm coping with pretty well. I mean, in general, I've been here for, 4 months maybe. I don't know if that's correct, but I've been pretty solid and I'm still going strong, and I'm just loving the basketball side of things. I think that's how it gets me through, and my friends, teammates are awesome, coaches are awesome. So I think, definitely.
Well, you know how the season just keeps going. It'll go by really, really fast, and before you know it, we'll be at the end of the season and looking into what's next. Is, you kind of go through that, you talked about, you know, having good games, bad games, some of that. It's easy when you're having good games, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a bad game, how do you try to move on from that and just know that you're a talented kid and the next game could be a lot different?
Yeah, I mean, that's still, I'm not going to sit here and act like that's something that I've conquered and learned, because it's not, and I'm still working on it. But I'd say, you know, a lot of credit goes to Coach Sean. I think that he always makes me feel better, and we're talking about games and stuff, so he always helps me move on to the next game. Tristan as well. So it's, you know, that's probably the best way I get through it right now. But, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I get through it well, because I don't right now. It does tend to affect me a bit too much when I play bad and the team plays bad. But, you know, I feel like every game's a new opportunity, and that it never really changes how the next game goes, in my opinion. It's just that, you know, the day of the game pretty sucks, you know what I'm saying? But I think as a competitor, if you're happy when you play bad and the team plays bad, then there's probably something going wrong, in my opinion. But whatever.
No doubt about it. You know, you look at it, just kind of your ability and what you can do with this team. As you look at yourself, you know, and obviously as a competitor, what do you look at as your strengths that can really help this team, and some areas that you're always trying to get better at?
Yeah, I think my strengths for this team right now is, I think that I can push the ball really well, especially in transition, and just like, I feel like I'm a playmaker. Like, I can kind of make plays out there, whether it's getting our big guys involved, and, or, you know, if it ends up me scoring myself, or so I think that sort of thing, playmaking and just pushing the ball. I think my shooting's pretty good, but I think one area I think I need to improve at is probably just being, I'd say, I think my defense has been solid, but I think it can always be better. And I think there's a difference between being solid defensively and being good defensively. And I think I want to be looked at as one of a great defender. And I think that's something I could definitely work on by, you know, that's that jump that I want to make for this team. And I think that if I do that, then it's only going to help us win more games, and maybe make those games where we lose by a possession, win by two possessions. So, you know, that's something that I'm looking at, but yeah.
What's more fun, the big steal that sets up a transition play, or the big bucket that just erupts the crowd?
Oh, I'm working on my defense, but it's not my favorite part of the game. I'm saying the big bucket that gets the crowd going. Any play that gets the crowd going is awesome. If it is the steal that gets the crowd going, then I'd love to make that. But I think getting the Coyote fans and the crowd involved is so important for us, especially when playing at home. So I'd say the big bucket right now.
Well, at some point, you're going to get that steal and get that breakaway and try to get this crowd fired up. You got any special kind of dunk that you're thinking about, or are you just trying to get that thing in the bottom of the net?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm thinking just getting in the bottom of the net. I don't want Coach Peterson stressing on the sideline with seeing me in transition, so, or getting ripped out of the game. So, just in case, I mean, I think I'm going to throw him under the bus here, but Ethan tried to pull off a windmill in the season and go rim block. So, I don't think that happened to me, but I'm petrified that that would ever happen. So, I think I'd just make the bucket.
Obviously, still young in the season and a lot of season left, but as you've gone kind of transitioned from far away from home into college and tried to adapt to this game, what would be your message to a younger player, a younger Jesse, as he started to lock in on basketball? What would be your message on just trying to, you know, keep yourself moving forward and find a way to adapt here?
Yeah, I would say, are we talking about like me before I came to college?
Yeah.
I'd probably just say like, try and keep everything constant. Like, don't be try hold yourself from getting too high after a game or too low from after a game. Just try and keep that same mentality going into the next day and just focusing on getting better rather than the result right now and the process, not result driven, I guess. So I'd probably say that, and just like, yeah, not getting too high, not getting too happy with yourself or too sad with yourself and too mad at yourself. So I think it's important to keep that level mind and having a solid focus rather than just being all reactive to everything.
Well, appreciate your time very much. A lot of season left, so keep doing it. Keep having fun, and good luck the rest of the year.
Appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
That is Jesse McIntosh. He is a freshman men's basketball player for the Coyotes from Melbourne, Australia, and obviously he has been a part of some pretty cool things representing Australia. He has represented, he's played a little bit with the NBL team, trained with them a little bit, and so he's done some pretty cool things already in his career. That pretty much wraps things up for the year in Coyote Athletics. Just a couple of basketball games to be played. The men's basketball team will play on Saturday as they play at Kansas State. And then coming out of the Christmas holiday, the men's team will play at home against Mount Marty on December 28th. And then the women's team back in action on December 30th when they take on College of St. Mary. The men's team will open up conference play in Fargo against North Dakota State on New Year's Eve, and before you know it, January 2nd and 3rd, swimming and diving will be back in the pool in St. Paul, Minnesota. Women's basketball, their conference opener is January 3rd down in Kansas City. So lots of things going on. We'll continue to heat things up here in the first few weeks of the new semester as we continue to get more and more involved. Before you know it, softball will be playing games, swimming and diving will be in the heart of their season. Indoor track and field will be off and rolling, and we'll be deep into the basketball conference seasons as well. That's it for us this week. We are taking next week off, and we'll hopefully be back with another episode here in a couple of weeks. We're taking next week off, so have yourself a great holiday season. Whatever it is that you're able to do, however you choose to spend it, enjoy it, and get ready, rest it up to cheer on the Yotes here in the next semester. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend and next week. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.